This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationships therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello. Did you hear me go, I reckon some therapist Kate Campbell? Sort of stumbled a bit there, but we'll leave it in, because we're having a good time. Mum, we've got a very interesting email, which I'd like to get your thoughts on. So on this podcast, we read out some of the questions that you sent in to us. To podcast@hatchet.com or on our social media channels. We're at the RSE pod, and you can send in your questions to our anonymous Google form there. There's a link to that in the bios of them. This one was sent to our email. And the reason I want to get to this first and quickly is because I'm not going to read it out verbatim, and I think you'll understand why quite quickly. I'm going to read snippets of it. So let me just read this. Hello, both. Me and my partner / girlfriend / fiance / soon to be wife need your assistance / support / suggestions / advice / help / tips / tricks / ideas / info / opinions / thoughts / feedback. We both in our 20s as well, so around 24/25 from the UK. So basically, my partner has this weird fetish / kink / obsession with my bellies / belly buttons / tummies / tummy buttons / navel / innies / outies. She especially has a fetish / kink / obsession for my belly / outie belly button, where my belly button sticks out a tiny bit on my belly. Anyway, long story short, this goes on for quite some time. And this, I would say...
obsession with slashing.
Yes, exactly. And I would also say this is a very well written piece of trolling, though. I do think we're being trolled this time. But it's actually very funny and very well written. So what I'm going to do is put that up on our Instagram because it is bloody funny.
So are we not answering it?
Oh, Mum, it's too long to answer. Well, okay, shall I skip to the end?
Well, I mean, is it just a problem? Are they asking if it's a problem that someone has an obsession with a belly button?
Well, let me just double check. I mean...
have you not read it all? You've got stuck with all the slashing.
She wants to tickle it lots too, and she wants to poke / prod it with her fingers / tongue, and she wants to bite it / nibble on it playfully, and she wants to hold belly fart / belly blows / belly raspberries. I wouldn't say that I definitely hated / disliked having my belly button played with / blown on / onto / into, but I just don't know how to communicate with my partner about my belly button being hypersensitive. Maybe that's the question then. The belly button is hypersensitive, and they're not that into it. So what's the question there? Firstly, is it weird that your partner would have something like that? And two, how do you tell them that might be their thing, but it is hypersensitive?
Well, just tell them. I mean, one of the questions that we, in sex therapy, we ask all of the couples, is there an area of your body that you don't like to be touched? And most people have some area that they don't like to be touched. Mm. And for whatever reason, I mean, sometimes it's because they have some sort of body dysmorphia, they feel that their tummy's a bit fat or something, so keep away from that. But many, many people don't like an area touched, and the most common areas are nipples, believe it or not, and belly buttons.
Interesting. Mm. Wow.
Because they're because they are very sensitive, but they're very sensitive. That can be in a good way. So, you know, there are reports of people orgasming with stimulation of the belly button. So, you know, because you're kind of pushing on the vagus nerve.
What's the vagus nerve?
Well, it's
sounds
one of
like
the
a party.
It's the nerve that runs right down your body. And, you know, if you stimulate the cervix, for instance, you know, you're directly stimulating the vagus nerve and you can get an orgasm.
Wow. So, but it's a bit of a gamble.
Well, no, you know, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? Everything's a bit of a gamble, isn't it? You've got to fight.
With the vagus nerve.
Why is that funny?
Las Vegas.
Oh, flipping heck.
Well, they're trolling us. I thought I'd troll you.
Oh, God, it's spelt differently.
Oh, right. How are we spelling it?
Well, Vegas, V-A-G-U-S. Anyway, forget about the vagus nerve.
Okay, yeah. But actually, this has turned us round to a proper question then. So sex therapy, one of the first things you ask, where don't you want to be touched? Belly button right up there with nipples as well. You would not have thought that about nipples.
You would not have thought that because nipples are super sensitive. You know, you can have real good fun with nipples. But same, you know, with belly buttons, actually. But sometimes people, if they've got a very deep belly button, they're so self-conscious about it because sometimes you get soap stuck in there and it's a bit pongy. So, again, that might be why someone doesn't like it being touched. But it's really tempting, isn't it, to stick your elbow into a belly button?
Why would you stick your elbow?
No. No, it's not.
Your finger.
Your finger elbow. Or your elbow. I don't know why I said elbow.
Yeah. Stick your elbow. I was like, how big is your belly button?
But, yeah. I mean, and you know, it can be sensitive and it can be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I to be fair about the nipple thing, like, I don't know, maybe guys' nipples aren't really focused on as much, but mine,
they're
I don't
gonna
really...
They're not going to be as sensitive as girlies' nipples, but they may still be sensitive. And, you know, you've got erogenous zones all over and you don't know they are until you know they are.
Yeah, well, one of my friends, though, I remember she was saying to me that she, her own sexual script, like what she would do, her moves, particularly on a guy, you know, she would get to the nipples ASAP, Rocky, and she'd be like, you know, looking away at them and stuff. And I thought to myself, well, that wouldn't work for me. But I think because mine aren't that sensitive, but also they're so small, they're such a small target, you'd have to go looking really hard anyway. But maybe that makes sense. So nipples and belly buttons, kind of classics not to be touched. Well, that perfectly opens us up to a little question for the Spotify listeners. If you go on Spotify, you can let us know in the question, where don't you like to be touched?
Yeah, where don't you like
Let
to be
us
touched?
Know. Where's your thing? Because I think that again, the sort of belly tummy thing you talked about, that's definitely it. So actually, what a great question, because that's
thanks,
right up
Charles.
There. Like, how do you tell them? Yeah, thanks, Charles. Mm. Also, check it out on Instagram. It is very well. It's really funny. It's really well written. So fair play to them. But let's have some serious ones now. Here's a question from that Google form, which we spoke about at the beginning, totally anonymous. It will ask for an email, but that's not for us. That's for Google, the overlords. But yeah, we don't see that. So here we go. I'm in my early 30s, brackets female, and dating someone, brackets male, a few years older than me. We used to be friends and then connected in a more intimate way. I discovered that they are a lot less experienced in both dating and sex. And although I know it's not the be-all and end-all, I am ready to find a person and settle down. And it's worrying me a bit. They've admitted they use porn as too much of an influence, and it can show sometimes, which we have chatted about. I feel like they might need to branch out and have a few relationships, etc. As right now, I feel that I'm aware of what I do and don't like, and I hate the feeling of being a teacher. I have issues myself with feeling like the organizer and the man in the relationship, and this situation feels like it is making that internal issue even more prominent. My previous relationship was also very controlling with narcissistic tendencies. And so I guess I now, even more than ever, yearn for someone to be able to look after me in a way that my ex didn't. This might sound super self-centered, but it's more that I want them to be 100% happy to settle with me than find out that they feel the need to explore a few years into the relationship. I have never felt so comfortable when with someone, so it is hard to know what to do. It would be great to get your guys' thoughts on how best to tackle this.
Ooh, it's a bit of catastrophizing in there, isn't there?
Do you think?
You know, well, I don't know. I mean, is she fearing the worst? I mean, it sounds like, you know, that she's got some ideas about how things ought to be and this isn't how they are. So in which case, you know, dump the relationship if you're not, you know, if that's how you feel about it.
But,
you know, because if this is somebody who is less experienced, they're not suddenly going to be more experienced than you and turn into, you know, the kind of defender, protector that you sound like you want, that they're not that person. But on the other hand, you get on really well And so does this part of it really matter? You've got to choose your battles, I guess. And it may be, maybe the sex thing will come. What I would say, I mean, you know, sex therapy would definitely help with this.
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure. And what would, how would you start with these guys? What would you...
Well, I mean, I think a proper full-blown sex therapy program would work because you take them back to the beginning and they'd be starting to explore touch and, you know, their sexual awakening, if you like, at the same pace. So what you already know is completely irrelevant when you're starting from the beginning because you're doing everything for your own pleasure, not for theirs. So you're taking responsibility for your own sexual experience. And weirdly, then they would come together, not literally climax together, but they would be developing at a reasonable pace and learning, you know, a new way of being sexual together that would stand them in good stead if they split up, but would be really good for the relationship the way it is now. So if you can afford sex therapy, you know, and you want to try it, then I would say you're a great candidate. Or if not, just dump him and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, what I would say is I completely agree with that, absolutely. For me, I don't know. Sometimes it's so interesting, like, reading these questions and seeing maybe how they change and also, like, trying to get into their brain and sometimes reading between the lines a bit. I mean, maybe I'm saying this wrong, but I feel like the top half of the question has a different vibe to me than the second half. The top half feels more like the problem and the issue, and the second half feels like the person who's writing the question trying not to be mean about it, if that makes sense. Like they say, this might sound super self-centered, but it's more that I want them to be 100% happy to settle with me rather than find out they need to explore a few years into a relationship, which sounds quite
A bit fearful to me.
Fearful, like you say, and worried and catastrophizing. But then at the beginning, they say, I discover that they're a lot less experienced in dating and sex, whereas I'm ready to find a person to settle down with, and it's worrying me a bit. They've admitted me they use porn too much of an influence, and it can show sometimes. That makes me feel that this person isn't saying, oh, I'm worried they want to find new people to have sex with. I think they're saying, the sex right now isn't great, and I'm worried it's not going to get better.
No, I think they're worried that this person doesn't want to settle down and that they're going to expect to be taught how to have sex by the writer. Also, it is worrying that they say some of the porn stuff shows in the relationship, because you do have to wonder then, are they watching violent porn and then introducing some of that? So in which case, that is definitely not on. Don't go along with it.
Yeah.
Unless you really love it. Unless you love it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you do. Really, you know, this might not be the person for you. They might be jolly nice as a friend, but maybe not so great as a lover.
But what I would say as well is that let's take the best case scenario of the influence by porn thing, where it's not necessarily violent, but let's say hard and fast and constantly changing positions, all that sort of stuff, not really taking into account the other person and what might feel good for them, that sort of thing, not necessarily it being necessarily violent. Even that strikes me as someone that, like you say, maybe isn't that experience, maybe isn't taking you as much into account. And also, maybe though, this is a scenario where you say that you're more experienced and that they're less experienced, but also have you not conveyed this properly yet? And if you have, and they haven't taken that on board, fair enough. But if you haven't, maybe that is something as well that you can do, because they might think, well, the girls in porn love it, brill.
But isn't this guy older than her?
Yeah.
Yeah, so by now, you know, he should have a bit more experience. And if his experience has all been with porn and he likes doing whatever it is he likes doing, why would you think he's going to change now? I think she wants to settle down. She's found somebody she gets on with, and she's trying to make them fit her fantasy of what a relationship should be. And actually, he doesn't. He doesn't fit that fantasy. So if, you know, talk to him about it, suggest sex therapy, and if that's not okay, you know, move on while you've got the chance.
And it's only your early 30s. I mean, you still got time. And I think, to be honest, if he said he's admitted that he used porn as too much of an influence, it makes me think that they have spoken about this, she has raised these concerns, and here we are.
You've got to be realistic about what's possible. You know, there isn't something that you can do that's going to change him automatically. You've both got to want to change, you know, and be equally enthusiastic about changing.
You can't change someone. They can only change themselves.
And the way you treat somebody can make a difference to how they feel. You can set an example, but this feels like a fairly radical change where you need to have some really good conversations and where sex therapy may be really helpful. And that might not be something he's into. If he's older than you and he's still doing this.
Maybe. And to be honest, if you were serious about sex therapy and you were like, yeah, let's do it, and they were like, I'm not sure, then maybe they're not as serious about this as you are, you know. So it could be a good, I hate this, good test, though, good ultimatum. I hate those, but maybe it is something that's good to think about.
Well, I mean, you know, give us some feedback if you want to, you know, let us know how you get on.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd absolutely love
that. Well, she might be saying, what terrible advice, what dreadful, awful advice you're giving.
And, well, do you know what? And we can't just, we want that as well. If it does go badly, yeah, I mean, we won't read it out, but, you know, we'll bin it, but we just need to.
It's, you know, if people think we're talking crap, it'd be great to hear from you. You know, what would you say?
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that I'm qualified, but never mind.
Exactly, and then we can shout them out and then destroy them on air. Okay, well, we'll be
no,
back.
No, we wouldn't do that. That's not true.
No, exactly. Well, we'll be back talking more crap right after this.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. We are answering more of the questions you sent in to us on our social media profiles. We're at the RSC Pod everywhere that matters. And we're also podcasts at hatchet.com as well. In the bio of this episode too, there's the Google form that you can submit your questions to Mum, an accredited sexual relationship therapist. She's called Kate Campbell. Look her up. It's the real deal. You can ask your questions to her there anonymously. We have one of those again here. This says, hey there, I have been so horny lately, and the only place my mind goes is to my ex. We're not on great terms, but he's a total slut, and I believe he'd be down to have a romp if I propositioned him. It'd truly just be sex for me, and probably a little angst, and I believe it would be for him too, but I also want to believe there are other people I could have good sex with. It's just the work it takes to develop a sense of safety and intimacy takes so long. The thought of just getting to hit it up with my ex and have decent sex has so much appeal to it. I also believe it could be a regression in the progress I've made in moving on after breaking up a few months ago. Should I have faith in myself that better things lay ahead, or is it okay to dip a toe into the past and give in to my sexual desires in the name of horniness?
Move on.
Yeah, simple, open, close,
yeah.
Move on.
I mean, yeah, because it's just complicated, isn't it? And you know, do you want to sort of, you know, catch feelings again or hope that they're going to do the same? You know, are you hoping that this is going to continue the relationship? Or are you going to get hurt? You know, there are all sorts of reasons. In the name of horniness, have a wank, you know?
Exactly. In the name of horniness, have a wank. I want to start saying, I just love that in the name of horniness. I want to start like quoting that everywhere. And it's like, and I'm doing this in the name of horniness.
In the name of horniness. Yes.
In the name of horniness. I feel like that is going to be the fucking name of my memoir. In the name of horniness. I did it all in the name of horniness. I do agree. Listen, it's so bloody hard. Come on. It's so hard. Like you say, you think, I know we have decent sex, we know each other's bodies, all that sort of stuff. And you just think, God, I know that it would be easy, but surely you've done good work. I think the good thing is you need to keep reminding yourself, fearing that day zero. Think about every day you go not having sex with them as like more days on the counter. And it, wouldn't it be so bad if you go back to zero? Like Mum said, you might catch feelings. All sorts of pheromones might come out when you do it again. Like, it's admin you don't want part of. So if the
it stops you from moving on as well, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, you're not going to,
exactly.
You know, if you want sex with somebody, then go and have sex with somebody, but not your ex.
That's it. You just got to trust that there's people out there, and there are people out there who will be good at it, and that you can, if you like them after a while, and kind of talk about what we were talking about in part one. You guys, you know, go out for long enough, communicate enough, you'll be able to develop better sex with anyway. Because part of the reason why, remember when you first had sex with your ex-boyfriend, wasn't it a bit shit? Maybe it wasn't, but with a lot of people, it was fine. And then over time, you learn each other's bodies and it gets a lot better. Mm. Maybe it was great the first time. Well done. That's amazing. But that is not always that common. So just think that will be the case with someone else. And there's loads of apps and stuff.
Yeah, don't be lazy.
Whoa. Okay, don't be lazy. Yeah, but also do it for yourself. You want to move on from your ex. So then get out there and get doing it that way. And,
it is, you know, scary, isn't it? But
exactly. But you're right. Maybe you should phrase it as, you know, a kick up the arse. Don't be lazy. Don't cover old. This is in the name of horniness, for God's sake. In the name of horniness, don't go back there. In the name of horniness, get out there and shag more people.
Yeah.
And tell more people how you like it. That is in the true name of horniness. Oh, I now want to ask people on Instagram, what have they done in the name of horniness?
In the name of horniness.
I love that. Oh my God. Well, in the name of horniness, we are going to end it there for today. It has been an absolute romp, which is a good fun word. I'd forgotten calling things a romp. If I'm ever to have sex with someone ever, I hope they describe that as a romp. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you'd like your question, of course, answered by Kate, who has reiterated this episode that she is a professional and she's accredited, then please do send it in to us. You can find the link to send it in to us anonymously in the bio of this episode and the bio of our social media profiles. We're at the RSC Pod. Make sure you're subscribed to us wherever you're consuming this podcast now. In the name of horniness, don't miss the next episode of The Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.